You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Great Table Talk, everyone. It's your girl, Cash, and I have a special guest, Mr. Torex. Can I just call you Torex?
Or? You can call me Torex. On the real estate side, a lot of people call me Rex. So, I mean, I have hashtag Rex Holmes.
And, okay, I
like DBA'd that. DBA'd Rex Holmes. Mm-hmm. So,
All right, Rex Holmes, remember that. Okay, so we wanted to have this podcast for some time now.
Okay.
Because you have a lot of people that are interested in buying homes.
Right.
But let's just get back to the core because I want to get to know a little bit about you.
Okay.
How did you get into real estate?
Okay, me personally, when I got into real estate, of course, when you leave to go to college, you really don't understand which direction you want to get into.
Uh-huh.
But I always grew up around my uncles fixing stuff, you know, rigging things around the house and stuff.
Right.
And that was always attractive to me, but I really didn't understand, you know, self-engineering. And so when I went to college in computer science, the rental house that I stayed at, me and a landlord always talked about things around real estate, but never came to that term. And then from there, you know, moving on to Lowe's, I worked at Lowe's, so I understood everything about the building material.
Maintaining.
So then I had a realtor to come through and actually talk about it. And that was so attractive to me because I understood everything that she was saying. And from there, after Katrina, I went on ahead and took the test. And here I am.
Okay. So to become a real estate, is that a real estate agent, would you say there's a test that you have to take?
Yeah. So there's a test. There's a state and a national test that you have to take that's recommended. Where you have to take, it's a requirement. And then after you've passed that test, you have to understand the whole real estate organic of things, because it really doesn't teach you how to be a realtor when you go to school.
You're basically learning
about the laws.
Ah.
The state and national laws.
Right.
And then after that, you really don't even use it. But at least you know about, you're really knowledgeable about the laws and stuff, but you don't use it or apply it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I can jump right into it and ask you, what is it that you specialize in?
Well, I used to specialize in first-time home buyers. I've done that for a long time.
Okay.
But at this point, I have a whole fleet of investors. And but now my specialty is investors and second time home buyers.
Okay, what's the difference between a first time home buyer versus, I mean, despite the obvious, first time versus second time.
Right.
What's the difference between a first time home buyer and a second time home buyer?
Because
it's all about buying a home.
Right. Well, first time home buyers really they know that they want a house. But they really don't know what kind of floor plan, or they don't really know what kind of subdivision they want to be in.
Uh-huh.
They don't know what kind of amenities, like even a sidewalk. They don't know if they want a sidewalk. They don't know if they want to be in a community with a bunch of people. So it's like you have to coach them on everything from A to Z.
And this is from a first-time home buyer.
From a first-time home buyer. You have to help them with some need help with credit, and you have to stick with them for a while, in which I really don't have a problem with that because I'm very customer oriented. But moving on to the second time home buyers, they kind of understand the logistics of things and or what side of town they want to be on, or
and that can cut down a lot of time.
It can cut down on a lot of time, but it also speeds up the process.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, I always have a mixture of some, but, you know, so, you know, some, the second home buyers, they may know if they want a luxury home.
Yeah, you're right.
I
guess I would be considered a second or third time home buyer. the first time, I just wanted to get out of my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I just bought the first thing I was approved for.
Right.
Which is a rental property for me now, but hindsight, I think if I was a little bit wiser, I wouldn't have purchased that home.
Yeah.
It of course did its work for me. I can't say that it didn't provide for me, but hey, hindsight, I probably would have got something else. What makes a good realtor? Because a lot of us want to know. Like sometimes, you know, we want to support of course, who we know.
Right.
A lot of times we want to support those people that we know who use a specific realtor. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that could be a good thing, but I personally have experienced in the past is not necessarily a good thing by just what you said. Mm-hmm. Because if you have specialized in first-time home buyers as well as second-time home buyers, you may have a realtor who just specializes in commercial properties.
Right.
And just because my homegirl used him doesn't mean that he would do the best for me, considering that that is his or her thing.
Right, right.
So, in your opinion, what
makes a good realtor? In my opinion, what makes a great realtor is, I mean, they have to have customer service.
That's super important.
Because, you know, you're going to have to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know, because, like with me, sometimes they may ask me a certain question,
uh-huh.
but I have all these things going on in my uh-huh. head as far as what answer can I deliver to them. Uh-huh. So I have to understand the person to be able to explain the answer correctly, because I don't want to overshoot it.
Okay.
You know, the next thing is to make a great realtor is they have to be really knowledgeable and willing to research certain areas that you may not understand mm-hmm. or know, you know. You know, say, for example, I might have a buyer that wants to buy a house out here in his parish,
mm-hmm.
but they want me. So that means I have to go ahead on and get online and do my research, find out what subdivision's coming up
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature, you know. So because there's a lot of people that get into this business and they really don't understand. They see that realtors are real flexible during the day, but they don't really know what's happening behind the scenes.
Right. And I can tell you one thing, since you said that, this is probably why I wouldn't do well as a realtor. Because I need Raheem or Stephanie to come in there, sign a paper so mm-hmm. I can put them in this house. I don't have all month to be playing around with.
Right.
I know this is unprofessional, but this is how I want to say it. I don't have all month to be playing around with Raheem and Stephanie. Now, sign your name so we can get you in this house.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So when I was a rookie, and let's just say if somebody wanted a house, I mean, I show them all around town,
mm-hmm.
right? Burning up all my gas and spending my whole day, you know?
Right.
But still didn't, you know, I didn't get no coins off of that. So now that I kind of understand the game, mm-hmm. you can kind of eliminate all these extras and you can kind of ask those preliminary questions
mm-hmm.
to try to find out what is exactly and try to drill down what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, like send me a picture or something like that, you know, just so you can help speed up the process, you know.
Okay.
And then you can say, okay, instead of looking at A through Z, this is your options, A, B, or C.
Right. So if you can you get somebody with a 530
mm-hmm.
credit score house? This is so random. This was not on a question list. This was so random.
Okay. The answer is yes. Depending on the lender, if they have that program.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
But I mean, you pay a premium price on an interest rate.
Let me translate that for y'all. He said you pay a premium price on the interest. What he mean is you'll be paying a high interest rate.
Right. So somebody that has a 640 or pay, let's just say, a $70,000 house,
mm-hmm.
okay, if you have a 640, your note and your insurance might be maybe $550 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you have that $550, that same house, you're going to pay maybe $1,300 a month.
Got it.
That's just the principal mm-hmm. and the interest. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me to my next question. Do realtors have connections with certain banks and lenders?
What do you mean by connections?
Meaning, do you all have, like, okay, if I come to you and I say, okay, I have a 550 mm-hmm. credit score,
okay,
but I want this type of house,
mm-hmm.
do you have a lender at the top of your head who you're going to market me to first?
Right. So it's important for realtors to know who their partners are and who can do what.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I have a lender that specializes in entrepreneurs and that understand tax things that may be faced with later mm-hmm. on before we get to closing. I mean, I have lenders that offer a lot of products and that's great with people. And then I have other lenders that does great with people with low credit scores
mm-hmm.
and don't mind sending them to a credit repair person.
Right.
Right. And so at that point, the only thing I want to know is, I need you to send me that email when they're ready.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, I mean, my job is to keep touching them every few months just to see how everything going, right. how the relationship going. And then we don't start shopping until I get that email. They're ready.
Got it. Okay. Okay. What is an ideal candidate or customer? What do mm-hmm. y'all call them? Customers? Client?
Client.
Client.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an ideal client. This is some things that realtors don't really like to share because you don't want to make anyone feel any kind
no,
of way.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that because, I mean, even, you know, I post a lot on social media. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do vlog and stuff like that is because I want to be transparent.
Which is important.
You know, it blows me away when people walk up to me at Walmart and say, hey, you the dude.
Yeah.
You know? And I may not know him. We friends, but I don't know him, you know? But the perfect person is somebody that has their business together as far as their credit, and they know what they want. And let's just say if they get approved for $200,000, but they say, hey, I want my note just to be maybe $850 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that would be somebody that's ideal to kind of know what they want.
What is a pretty decent credit score to have if you were looking for a home for the second time? Third?
Six. 640 is the baseline where you're mm-hmm. good, right? But, I mean, of course, the higher your credit score is, the lower your interest rate is going to be.
Okay.
So, you know, you have more options, you know.
Okay. What about, I had a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say their name because you probably know him. And I'm not going to say their name because y'all too nosy. They were in bankruptcy.
Okay.
And I remember when this person was in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you they finished bankruptcy, and I swear within a matter of 3 months
mm-hmm.
of completing their bankruptcy,
right.
they were able to buy a house or two.
Well, some are severe than others, you know.
What does that mean?
Somebody may have a bankruptcy because they just have too many bills and too many bill collectors, and they don't know how to fight them off,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what happens is when you go to a bankruptcy attorney, they kind of set the stuff up to where it's you basically have to just deal with only cash and eliminate all these accounts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I haven't had anyone to go through it that fast, 3 months, but I've had people to be able to purchase in a year.
Okay.
You know, because mm-hmm. they had an extended amount of medical bills and, you know, they fell off because of a job, the car got repoed
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature.
I'm talking about completing bankruptcy, be it dismiss or discharge. And I didn't even
normally
ask the person.
Normally you have to wait a year after you're discharged.
Okay. You what know? About dismiss? I just found out the
know.
Difference
yeah,
between the two recently. Okay,
yeah,
I don't know. I just I knew that there was a difference just recently, like probably 2 months ago. I was trying to flex my muscles
mm-hmm.
of my knowledge.
I'm going to find out, though.
I know,
I'm going to find out.
And don't ask me to explain it. That would
yeah,
be too
I mean,
much for
if
me.
People
I have
ask
no
me
idea.
Something, you know, I tell them, I don't know, but I'm going to find out because I'm pretty sure that question will come around
right,
later.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I was talking about this friend that bought the house. I mean, beautiful home. I was like, so I'm assuming that they were finished with bankruptcy. I knew that they were in bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not quite sure if they were, I would say that there's discharge, but they could
mm-hmm.
have been dismissed.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember them talking about being dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the difference is, but that's why I was going to throw that out.
Right.
So don't ask me
yeah.
about that.
So I know it's real sensitive after you go through a bankruptcy
mm-hmm.
as far as who's going to give you that olive branch to give you a loan.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, as far as if you have those discharge, that paperwork, and then your credit score is good, you know, I guess any bank might go ahead on and give you that loan.
Right.
You know?
Here's a question
go
that I have that wasn't on your list.
Okay.
I heard,
mm-hmm.
and this is probably within the last 2 years, and I wish
mm-hmm.
I would have knew this first,
mm-hmm.
that lenders, and it's from your experience, you can answer this, lenders are not quick to give a first-time home buyer a loan if they have a car already.
It depends how long they have the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that if they had a car and it's been like 6 months.
Or more,
you know, they'd be willing. And then they go look at your payment history.
Right.
You know.
Because
a lot of first-time home buyers really don't have a whole lot of credit because
mm-hmm.
they're still trying to understand it, you know.
Right.
And I mean, if you as a person like myself, I'm being transparent. you know, you go on campus, you have the credit card people.
Okay,
filling out the application.
You was like, let me fill out this application.
Just for a
T-shirt. Get this free gift.
Yeah. Just for a T-shirt, you know.
I can get this free gift, cool.
Yeah, and I blew that $1,200 in. Yeah. And then I didn't have no job. And I'm like, the bill came in. I'm like.
Yeah. I had this very same talk with my daughter, my oldest daughter that's on campus now. She's a junior. And I'm like, listen, I don't care. I don't think they're on campus now like they used to be with us. But I was like, don't get any credit cards. You understand me? If they're on campus off you, don't apply.
Don't do it.
Do not do it. So she's been really good about that because I stay on it. Because I've learned, unfortunately, the hard way how to get out of debt. And I'm still climbing out because, you know, Sally Mae
is she still looks for everybody coattail.
She looks
for
you.
Navient, no.
That's true. And you know, they had that big class action lawsuit that I was trying to get on.
Okay.
We passed before that time. But I wish I would have gotten on that darn class action lawsuit.
Right.
But pause for a second. Let me see what it looked like. Oh, we good. We got like 6 minutes.
Okay.
What other questions I had? I'm going to chop this out, by the way. I think you already answered this. I think you already answered this. Walk us through the home buying process, especially for first-time home buyers. I think you kind of addressed that.
Well, what also I want to bring up to your attention is, you know, home buyers, first-time home buyers need to understand that, you know, whenever you put in that purchase agreement, you're able to buy, you know, you. So after there's a meeting of the mind as far as the price that you settle on and the closing costs that the seller may or may not pay. But after everything comes to terms, then that's when the inspection period comes.
Okay.
So that inspection period
is when the bank sends out someone.
No, the inspection period is when your realtor that you trust has one of the best home inspectors that they trust that's going to find and look at everything. You know, just like you go to the doctor to get a physical, where that home inspector is going to come to the house and give it a physical.
Got it.
You know, they're going to look at the plumbing. They're going to look at the pressure that's coming from the pipes and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. That's not their job to be a plumber, but let's just say if it's slow on one side of the house, they just go take pictures and note it. They're going to look at the roof. They're going to look at the structure. If there's any kind of foundation issues, they're not going to say, hey, I recommend you do this. They'll say, I think that you need to get a structure engineer over here just to see what's going on.
Right.
But here's what I found.
Okay.
So in between that period, which can be 10 or 15 or 20 days, like I said, you have to come to terms on a contract. Then your realtor have to get any other estimators, professional people to look at that and give them a price.
Right? And you're going to deduct that from the asking price?
Well, that may happen. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen before. But then again, you know, if a seller is selling a house as is, that means I'm not giving anything. You know, it is what it is, you know? You like it or you don't. You know, you kind of find out the severity of a house during that home inspection. Mm-hmm. So it kind of make that whole period the most sensitive part of a contract, to whereas if that buyer say, you know what, that's too much, just cancel it.
Right.
That buyer can find anything on that home inspection that they may seek that is too much for them or they don't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be as simple as they can go in front of the house and smell, they don't like a bad smell in front of the house, and call their realtor and say, hey, cancel this contract.
Yeah.
It's just that easy,
right.
You know?
Okay.
And they get their deposit money back, you know?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So typically, for anyone who's interested in purchasing real estate, I contact you first, or I can find a home that I like and then contact you and tell you, look into this home for me. What's the best process? What's the best way to go about it?
The best way is to contact your realtor and just to say, hey, I'm able to buy a house, and this is what I'm kind of looking for. But I did see this house over here that I like. So that's when that realtor say, okay, let me send you an email on the details for that house that you see. But of course, you know, when you're a first time home buyer, you see these houses, but you don't really know how it looks on the inside. You don't know the flow of it. Right. So, you know, you can, even if it's empty, you can look, you know, through the right. windows, but you still don't know what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. You can always see the exterior, the right? Mm-hmm. So then that's when I realized to say, I'm going to send you some pictures, and if you're ready, you're approved, we can go look at it to see if you like it.
Do you prefer for your clients to be pre-approved first before they contact you, or?
I would say, let me just go ahead on and, you know, have a conversation and just see, you know, where they're at, because it's always a match. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're a realtor, you know, like I'm a match for you. We ebb and flow. We work together, mm-hmm. you know, so we may not work. You may not like my attitude or how I answer your questions. I may right. be too direct for you, mm-hmm. you know. So I would like them to contact me, and then they will know, well, I don't like this guy. You know, I just find somebody else.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it is, you know. But if we work together, you know, we sign agency disclosures and things like that. And, you know, I would say, okay, if there's an open house on Sunday, you can go, but just let them know that I'm helping you, you know.
Good, good. So you all heard it, that when you are in the market to buy a home, you don't necessarily have to have your pre-approval first before you contact your real estate agent. Before I get on my next subject,
okay,
I want to give you an opportunity to tell the folks how to reach you on
okay.
your Instagram. If you want to give your cell phone, you can,
sure.
and your email address.
Sure. Okay, it's very easy. My name is Torex Collier. I'm known. I mean, you can find me on Facebook under Rex Homes, and on IG, Instagram, you can look me up under Rex Homes. So my phone number.
That's R-E-X. R-E-X. Kinda, you know,
yeah, R-E-X.
They got new names.
H-O-N-E-S.
These days.
Rex Homes. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. And then my phone number is 225-610-5151. So that number is based out of Baton Rouge, but I have a lot of people in the Baton Rouge area and in New Orleans area mm-hmm. that I help. So, just give me a shout. My email address is Torex, T-O-R-E-X, dot Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's Facebook and Instagram, Rex Homes, R-E-X Homes. Now, if y'all don't know how to spell Homes, I blame your mama, not the school.
Yeah, reach out to me on my fan page. I give a lot of exclusive interviews with different lenders and home inspectors, and I give out a lot of information as far as what's next after you buy your first house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do I do next, you know? Because, I mean, you just don't know if you have to put paper blinds up or,
yep.
or if you have to go to Lowe's and buy some blinds.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I give a lot of what's next tips. So reach out to me. You can DM me. You know, you can send me an email or give me a call, and I'd be willing to get those answers out to you.
Here's my question to
okay.
you. Foreclosures.
Okay.
We've heard, of course, it's terrible when anyone loses their home.
Right.
So I'm not.
But it can also be a gain.
It could also be a gain. I don't want to be insensitive. However.
Right.
What is your experience with foreclosed properties?
Well.
If I call you and I say I want to foreclose properties, can
okay.
you give me a listing area?
Right. So when we talk about foreclosed properties, what they basically mean, what you're asking me for is I want a nice house at a discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So the whole contractual process is long. It plus 60, maybe 60 days.
Okay.
Because whenever you send in a contract to these banks that have these foreclosed properties, it's a list of people that have to sign off on the paperwork before they even say, yes, I'll take that deal.
Wow, okay.
Right? So let's just say we found this house that we like. Well, because you like it, that means we have to kind of know, we have to do our research on how much the houses are. And normally those houses are discounted 15% less than the value that they should be. And
okay.
also the condition is
mm-hmm.
deducted. But we have to kind of know our bottom dollar or our highest number that we can pay for that house, because just like you like it, it's going to be probably 20 more people that like that same house.
So yeah. after you do your research and I say, okay, everything checks out, I still want it. What we do, we do it like we're purchasing a home.
Right. So
put
you
in
see,
a
you
bid.
Can still, we'll go ahead on and put in a bid, and most of these websites that have these foreclosed properties that's featured in MLS,
mm-hmm.
you have to go to their site, their internal site, and submit your purchase agreement.
Okay.
Okay. And then they'll let you know via email if they accepted it or not. When they send that realtor that email that they have accepted it, then they'll let that listing agent know we have a contract.
Okay.
Right? So that listing agent may not even know who it is was accepted, but that's just how it works, you know?
Can you have in four bids at one time on a foreclosed property?
Four?
I don't know. I'll just say, like, if 20 people are interested.
Well, you can say three. And here's how. So you as a personal, you want to get that house, right? Because you have a loan. But let's just say if you have an LLC, right? So if you have an LLC that can get it for cash, then you can submit that, right?
Okay.
And let's just say if you have another LLC, you know, so you can come in for different directions. Oh. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but you can.
I had no idea.
Right, and then also on the foreclosed properties, normally the first 15 days, they kind of want a home buyer to purchase this property, right?
Got it.
But after the 15 days, that's when they kind of open up the windows for
businesses or investors to
buy. Right,
but
at the same time, I mean, it can be a pretty dope house that investors see. So what do? Instead of putting it in they LLC, they'll get it in their personal name.
Got it.
You know? So then it bears down to that listing agent. What that bank want them to do is sometime go to the assessor's office to see if this person that was accepted for this contract already have a pre-existing home. Some of them do it, some of them don't.
Got it. Ooh, so that was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah, that's it. Who knew? I just thought, like, I want that one. And get it for me, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, you may get the house and it may, let's just say, if you like it, but let's just say when we get it, let's just say if the cabinets are gone, the toilet's gone. So, you know, the owners who let the house go under foreclosure, they probably put some custom cabinets,
right,
a custom toilet.
I'll take myself, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Maybe y'all don't know this about me, but I'm telling you.
You pick it.
Everything, doorknobs, and getting all my stuff.
Right. Yeah.
You come get that's fine, but you're not taking the cabinets. I want them.
Yeah, but some people take that stuff, right, you know? Right, so, you know, it's all empty. So, you know, people look at it, the first time home, but they want that foreclosed house, but all the stuff gone. So what do you do? You have to get a certain loan to get all this stuff done.
Right. Okay.
And it'll be financed then.
All right. Well, Rex Holmes, Torex, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Again, Facebook and Instagram, Rex Holmes. And your
all
number?
All you have to do is hashtag.
Hashtag, folks. Use it. And what's your number again?
225-610-5151.
There you go. And we out. Bye.
Bye.